You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors.
Like, just watch this guy. I mean, if you're a kid, don't you just want to try to be him just for like a day? Just go in the backyard, the schoolyard, just at lunchtime in the cafeteria. Just be able to float this one to the back shoulder. You know why I threw that ball to the back shoulder? Because Adrian Phillips is going to blow up Kelce here in the middle of the field. So what does he do? He puts it on his back shoulder away from him. Imagine if you could just put the ball wherever you want it.
That is Baldy's Breakdowns on Twitter, at Baldy NFL. You're talking about Patrick Mahomes and, of course, Brian Baldinger live in studio on the Damon Bruce Show. Bonte Hill, Gianna Franco, get well, Damon Bruce. He has a head cold. We'll see him back on Monday when he breaks down the Niners and Seahawks and the Warriors, what's going on with them. But, Baldy, you talk about Patrick Mahomes, and I think we all watch college football. You watch college football. You talked about it early on in the show where – he's at Texas Tech, and I think he had that classic game where he threw for 700 yards against Oklahoma because he had to. I've never known Texas Tech to play defense, whether it was our guy up in Washington State, Mike Leach, Kingsbury. But Mahomes, when he got drafted and Andy Reid moved up to draft him, and you heard all these teams, Bruce Arians with the Cardinals, they all wanted Patrick Mahomes. And I thought, this guy's going to be, you know, Greg Pop always joked, he's 30 for 30. He's going to throw you 30 touchdowns. But he's going to throw you 30 interceptions. He comes out in his first start, or second start, excuse me. He had a start last year against Denver, the last game of the season. He goes down to Carson, California, and he lights up the Chargers. And you're thinking, who is this guy? Okay, is it a fluke? Well, here we are 45 touchdown passes later, and Patrick Mahomes is playing like it's backyard football.
So that year, 2 years ago, the Chiefs were sitting at number 27 in the draft. So the Saints were at number 11. So Andy Reid and his team and his reconnaissance found out that the Saints and Sean Payton were eyeing Patrick Mahomes. And so they knew that if they needed him, if they wanted him, they had to get in front of number 11. So they get all the way to number 10. And they basically forfeit the whole draft to go get him. But so if you think that Andy Reid, who knows a little bit about quarterbacks, Sean Payton, who seems to know a little bit about quarterbacks, and then at that time, John Gruden doing games on Monday Night Football, said this guy, Patrick Mahomes, is the most talented quarterback in the draft. When those three guys all echo the same thing, and then Bruce Arians, all these other guys, they knew something about this guy. And it was more than just, you know, the Red Raider system. It was more than air raid football. This guy was a fierce competitor, an elite athlete, and a ridiculous, maybe an arm that we haven't seen since maybe Favre or Elway. I mean, he's in that category. So then you go, okay, well, then it's still the NFL game. Like, is he going to be able to? But I thought last year, he sat until week 17 against Denver, and I think he got a chance to watch Alex Smith, who's a real pro, really kind of prepare week in, week out, what the routine is like. Okay, Tuesdays, you know, it's not a day off. You're preparing on Tuesday. So I think he saw what Alex Smith did. I think it really helped him a lot. You know, and then the other thing that's, if you watch a game last night or any Chief game, after, and I think more coaches should do this, but after every single series, Andy Reid goes over and he sits down with Patrick Mahomes. And they look at all these pictures and all the video together. And they talk about it. They talk about what he saw, what he likes, what he thinks. And I don't see any other coaches doing that. Now, he's got Bob Sutton's defense coordinator. Yep. He's the assistant head coach. So he can make all the calls defensively, challenges, all that stuff. But Andy sits next to Patrick Mahomes. And he really works with his quarterback every single series. And I see quarterbacks come off the field and they don't talk to anybody. And I just wonder sometimes, like, where's the coaching?
You see it a little bit with Sean McVay, with Jared Goff. Yeah. I've seen it a couple times there where because he has Wade Phillips as his defensive coordinator. But you're right on the money there. Andy Reid is just sitting there with Mahomes and just some of the throws. I mean, yesterday you had a breakdown and you tweeted it out this morning. The first touchdown pass where it's a sprint right option.
Yep.
You've seen that play made famous here in San Francisco with Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. And he's rolling to the right. I'm like, throw it away. I'm yelling at him, throw it away, Mahomes. And he throws it across the field again, and it's a dime. I mean, how does he see this stuff? I mean, he's rolling around the 4th-and-9 play last week against Baltimore.
Yeah.
He's rolling to his right. He got these guys, Suggs and everybody, chasing him down, and he flicks it. And he hits Tyreek Hill in stride.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked about Elway and some of the greatest arms we've ever seen. Brett Favre, as you mentioned. But Mahomes is somebody I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in my 36 years on this earth.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to base. I mean, Aaron Rodgers in his elite prime, Favre in his elite prime, Elway. I mean, you really can't go I mean, I'm sure people are going to argue about other quarterbacks that could do this, but not really. Not really. That throw last night to DeMarcus Robinson for the first touchdown, I mean, it is sprint right option, and they've got him just plastered. There's no place to go. And I thought, like you, I thought he was going to throw the ball away, and then out of nowhere, and by the way, he's rolling out like he's running through strawberry fields, like it's a Beatles song, you know, and like he's just as calm and collected as can be. And then out of nowhere, when I think the Chargers thought he was going to dump it and throw it out and just save the sack, he makes this across-the-body flick to Robinson for the touchdown. Like every play, and I talked to Travis Kelce about this year, you no matter where you're at in the pass pattern chain on that particular play, you're never out of the play. You always have to stay alive because he could see you from anywhere and he might throw it to you. So you have to be ready. It's almost like Steph Curry coming into this league and all the no-look passes.
Right.
Like how many passes got dropped or how many passes went through guys' hands because they didn't see it. You have to be ready. On any given play, the progression could come to you.
No-look passes, sidearm passes. He's got the mobility. He's making it look like backyard football.
He does. But, you know, the thing that's better than all of that, it's how much fun it is to watch him.
Yeah.
Like my mom is a huge football fan, right? So my mom watches every game. And, you know, I had two brothers that played, so we had three brothers all play. My mom's proud of that. But she knows her football. I was having dinner with her the other night. I was in Los Angeles. And she said, you know, when I watch Patrick Mahomes, I feel like I just want to buy him an ice cream cone. Like, he looks like a young kid. You know, he looks like a kid, like, too old to even get a beer. Like, he's just a kid. But, you know, the big part of this game is entertainment. It is highly entertaining watching him. I don't care what level fan you are. You play fantasy, you're kind of not really interested, but you turn it on. He makes you watch. And I think that's the best part about it. He makes us all bigger fans.
Where do you come up with this language on the Baldy breakdowns? You talked about Patrick Mahomes. No, it's like he's walking through a strawberry field. Or you're talking about a Cowboys linebacker. All they want to do is play football and hunt. And you start barking. You start barking on these videos. Is this just random? Is this off the top of the head? Do you script this stuff, Baldy? How do you come up with this stuff?
No, I just stream of consciousness. You know, it's straight out of Haight-Ashbury. I mean, it's just straight out of Haight-Ashbury in the 60s. If I tried to script it, I'd screw it up. It would sound rehearsed or practiced. It's just whatever hits me at the time. And I'm just kind of screenshotting the camera on the TV screen. I have high-tech equipment. I can sit there and I've married the ability to take any football footage and I could put it together with Fingerworks technology and spot shadow and arrows. I could do all that. And I do for the NFL. But I like it just raw. I just think it's wrong. Like, what, you just played here?
Right.
Like, I don't think fans that are on their phone need a whole lot of technology. I think they just need something that they can follow.
I want to ask you about another quarterback in the AFC West, Derek Carr, across the bay.
Yep.
And there was a time during the season where I thought, there's no way Derek Carr is going to make it alive in Oakland, California. John Gruden's going to move off from him. He's not going to be able to grasp the system. Maybe this is just too tough for him. But Derek Carr, over the last month, has really turned a corner here. What have you seen from Derek Carr over this last month of the season under John Gruden?
Well, first of all, he hasn't thrown an interception in 8 weeks. So he threw eight in the first 220 passes, and a lot of them in the red zone. Red zone interceptions kill you because it takes points off the board. Opening game of the season,
he
did that. But so he's taking care of the football. That's the most important thing, period. And now, what they've done is, look, they've got two rookie tackles out there. Nobody else in this league has got Brandon Parker and Colton Miller out there, okay? I mean, so you're already going, okay, I might have 2.5 seconds. So they're basically making these throws to Jared Cook and to Jordy Nelson right now and to Seth Roberts. I mean, it's getting the ball out fast. And he's hitting a spot, and he's like, look, go get it. You know, I mean, Jared Cook, he's 10 years in the league. Best year he's ever had.
Yeah.
So he's getting rid of the ball faster. He's getting the ball out of his hands. And the thing I've always liked about Derek, from his rookie year, the last preseason game of his rookie year, they played Seattle. And for whatever reason, Seattle had the Legion of Boom on the field. I mean, it's still hard to believe, but Richard Sherman was out there, Earl Thompson, they're all out there. And he attacked them that day. And they weren't giving him the job in Oakland, but he won the job. And what I saw from Derek in the first year and then the second year with the big year was I saw a guy that was aggressive and attacked. And I didn't see that the first half of the season. But these last couple games now, he's attacking. And he looks like that guy that I saw a couple years ago. And I think that's a great thing. It's a great thing because I thought of all the things that seemed screwy, whether it was Khalil Mack or Amari, whatever they were doing, putting Donald Penn at right tackle, all the things that seemed backwards
right.
to me.
Right.
The one thing they couldn't do is they couldn't screw up Derek Carr. You had to fix him because there is talent there. And they're just too hard to find. And you've got this big contract. Now, I know you can get out. There's escape right. clauses. But I right. thought they went to London. They played that game in Seattle. Oh, and it was a disaster.
Beat got beat up.
But he didn't. He first of all, he wasn't having any fun. He was getting killed. And he didn't know what to do. I mean, he didn't. Every time he dropped back, like Frank Clark was just tattooing him. And it was just a long, hard day. The way we saw last year, Dak Prescott against the Falcons.
Right. Yep.
It looked like that. It was just, he looked defeated. And I thought, okay, you've got to figure out a way to get that out of his system and get him back. And I feel like right now, with three games to go, especially with that was a huge win against Pittsburgh. Huge. And you could say Pittsburgh's not all, they beat Pittsburgh. A winning team with a great tradition. If they turn this thing around, you're going to point to that game. And you're going to say, they beat the Steelers in December when everybody said it doesn't matter. When these games aren't important. Tank it. All those things that people say. These games are important, and that was an important game.
Yeah, Derek Carr definitely playing well. We're going to get more thoughts from Brian Baldinger on the NFL. We'll look around the league. We'll look and see who the favorites are. We'll talk about that Chargers game a little bit yesterday. But you came in here today at 95.7 game, and the first thing you said when you saw me is like, I'm ready to talk hoops. Everything's on the table here.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about the champs here.
All right.
We're going up to Sacramento to play a Kings team that is 15-12. They're playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors just got rolled by the Raptors, so it's a bounce-back game for them. But first, Gianna's got something to give away.
Yeah, speaking of hoops, if you want an opportunity to qualify for VIP tickets, the Warriors-Lakers Christmas Day game, that is coming up at 4:20. So here's how it's going to go down. I'm going to play the sounder for you. This is what you need to listen for.
Ho, ho, ho.
It is the final holiday gift grab coming up in just minutes. You'll win a great prize and then, of course, qualify for VIP tickets to Warriors-Lakers Christmas Day. So that's coming up in just a minute. I think we'll have Brian pick the prize.
All right,
what do you think?
Man, we've got Baldy. We've got him picking out prizes, breaking down basketball and football right here on the Damon Bruce Show. Bonta Hill, Brian Baldinger, and the lovely Gianna Franco right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
They're going to begin. I mean, like I said, they're second right now. You know, it's going to be a tougher year. You know, obviously they're going to have to get through it and be healthy. But again, I think when it's all said and done, if they're healthy going into May, I just don't see anybody being able to beat them.
That is David West, who joined Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson yesterday on 95.7 The Game. Of course, he retired after the season after winning two straight NBA championships. He believes the Warriors can still win it all. Of course, they have four All-Stars. They are the odds-on favorite to win it, but they're going through a little bump in the road here. A lot of teams have caught up to them. It seems like not all the way. If the Warriors bring their A game, they should be fine here. But Toronto showed that they're a team to be reckoned with down the line here. Gianna Franco. Brian Baldinger live in studio. Of course, he breaks down the NFL on NFL Network, Fox Sports, and Compass Media Networks. He'll be calling the game Sunday at Levi's Stadium when the Seahawks take on the 49ers. We'll see if the 49ers can snap that 10-game losing streak to their NFC West rival. But Baldy can do all things. We heard him break down food,
mm-hmm.
break down the top five cities, break it down and go to Gate Bridge alongside the NFL. So we're going to get Baldy's breakdowns on these Golden State Warriors here. So you know Bob McKillop, mm-hmm. Steph Curry's coach yep. at Davidson. Yep. So let's just start right there. What do you know about Steph Curry?
Well, I mean, Bob McKillop was a great high school coach in Long Island, where I'm from. He married the older sister of my best friend. We played college basketball together. So in the summers, it was Bob McKillop at Holy Trinity High School in Hicksville, Long Island. And he went over to Long Island Lutheran, Coach Wayne McCoy and Bill Wennington there. And then he went to Davidson. And at Davidson, you know, obviously Steph came through there. And they had that phenomenal run all the way to the University of Kansas. And so that's when I think America fell in love with Steph and that ability to shoot. And just from every angle, like it's like watching Patrick Mahomes throw football. It was from any angle, from any distance. And so I feel like I've been a Steph Curry fan all the way from the very beginning. But I remember being in Cleveland for the finals a couple of years ago when Cleveland fell to Golden State that day and went down 3-1. But Draymond got suspended,
mm-hmm.
and then Cleveland came back, and they turned around. They won three in a row, and LeBron got his championship in Cleveland. But watching that game that day, I remember watching Steph warm up, and like his warm ups were from the deepest corner of the corner, the deepest corner Like, that's where he was warming up from. And he just had somebody just feeding him a ball. And sure enough, like, that corner is like, you know, it's dead man's corner.
All right, we got some gifts to give away, Gianna. Where's our sounder here?
We got
some prizes. It's time.
Ho, ho, ho.
Baldy, since you're our guest today, would you like to pick what caller wins the prize for a awesome prize and a chance for VIP tickets for Christmas?
Yes.
So what caller would you like? Caller number?
Number four.
Caller number four, 1-888-957-9570. Your chance to win a great prize and to qualify for Warriors VIP tickets. We'll have that winner for you in a minute.
Man, and those tickets for the Christmas Day
game,
right?
Christmas Day game, yes. Thank you, Monte. Christmas Day, Lakers, Warriors.
Wow. That'll be the first matchup between the two teams since LeBron James has become an L.A. Laker. Obviously, they have Kyle Kuzma playing well.
No offense here to Golden State and your city here. But, I mean, to me, as a football guy, basketball starts on Christmas Day. Like, I mean, I know we've played, a bunch, 30 games, but Christmas always seemed like that was the NBA season for me. That's when it started.
I thought about that, too. Like, that was the unofficial, official start to the season. Christmas Day, you get all the primetime games, the primetime matchups, and this would be a primetime matchup with the Warriors. Just tell me what you see. When you take a break from breaking down NFL film, and you pop on the Golden State Warriors, what are you looking for?
Well, I mean, first of all, it is the definition of positionless basketball, right? So there is no, they've changed the game. They changed the game with positionless basketball and the way that they shoot the threes. So nobody shoots the ball better from behind the arc than the Golden State Warriors. So when you watch them right now, I mean, I think only Clay and Durant right now, the only two that have started every game. I mean, everybody else has missed time. So, you know, when you put them all on the court together, they're just impossible to really stop. Because even if somebody is cold, they're not all four going to be cold at one time. And so you just, when they get healthy, they're going to go on one of those streaks, and they're going to win 15 or 20 in a row.
What did you think when Kevin Durant, on the 4th of July of 2016, signed with the Golden State Warriors? What was your first thought, Baldy?
So he was in the Hamptons.
In the Hamptons. You're exactly right.
And I was in the Hamptons that day. So it's a summer, it's not about breaking out cover two all the time. So I was out in the Hamptons. My brother has a house in Montauk. So I was with a buddy of mine, and I was at his house in East Hampton, and we're just shooting a breeze. He was a director at Fox and still is. So I'm in his backyard, and he says, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" He goes, "Guess where Durant's going?" I go, "Knicks." I don't know. He's going to Golden State. I'm like, "He's going to Golden State. They've already won without him." So I was shocked. I was shocked that he went there. I just thought, I understand great players want to play with great players, but I just thought, God, you just want to stack it that much? Like, I just thought it was too stacked.
Yeah, it definitely felt like the Warriors ruined the league by bringing in Kevin Durant. He's become more efficient here. He's unlocked all his talents. Defensively, he looks like a different player.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? You think Durant's going to stick around here after the season? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that these guys, I think once they start winning championships and they get a taste of it, I think they feel like they can take their, like LeBron. Like, they can just, wherever I go, I'm going to bring the championship. So it's not enough to win four, maybe, or five. Let me go someplace else where they haven't won, and let me be that guy. Let me be the coach. Let me be Shaq. Let me be LeBron. Let me be that guy that takes championships where he goes. So I think he's going to, I believe that he's going to go. Because I think it's going to help define him as a player.
Right.
I mean, I think
how can you walk away from a three-peat, though? If the Warriors win the championship and they have a chance to do something that Michael Jordan never did, Kobe and Shaq never did, Tim Duncan and the Spurs never did, Larry Celtics, Showtime Lakers.
Well, you make a good argument, Bonte. I can't fight the argument. There's an argument there. There's also an argument that says, let me go team up with these guys and let's go win a championship here in this city. Let me go to Toronto and let's put a championship in Toronto. Let me go to Boston and put another one in the rafters. I don't think Philadelphia is the right place for him, but I mean, I could see some place that's on the way up where they just need that guy to put him over the top.
All right, Gianna, I believe we have a winner here, Saheed from San Jose. Let's bring him on to the Damon Bruce Show. Saheed, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? How you guys doing?
We are good. Well, congratulations. You're going to be great because you just won a pair of tickets to see Hootie and the Blowfish, with Bare Naked Ladies at the Shoreline. I'm good. I'm glad you're excited. Amphitheater in Mountain View on Saturday, June 29th, 2019. Get your tickets at LiveNation.com. So plenty of time to plan for that. But you know what's even better than that? You're qualified now to win tickets to Warriors Lakers VIP Christmas Day. Ooh, that's what I said. Congratulations.
Yes, it does.
Happy holidays.
If you can't go, by the way, I'd be happy to take your place on Christmas.
So stay on the line. We got to get your info.
We got to get his info here. He's on hold. You a Hootie and the Blowfish fan, Baldy?
Yeah, back in the day.
When you pop in some tunes here, you're driving up in New Jersey or driving into New York City, what are you bumping in your radio,
Well, Baldy? You know, I mean, I live in Jersey, so I'm Springsteen is usually on at some point. So I've seen, I don't know, 150 Springsteen shows around the world.
Wow.
So I went on tour with them 1 year, and, you know, we were just there to party and have fun. So I did all that. It was good. But, Springsteen, I mean, if U2 is playing, I'm going to go see him. I'm still old-time rock and roller.
So when you say you went on tour with them, you just kind of hung out backstage and sort of, wow.
I have this group called the Travel Dogs. So we travel, you know, we're just looking for a party and having some fun just to get out. So my brother, I got a buddy of mine here that lives in San Francisco that was one of them, Monty Hunter, and played with me in Dallas. We had a bunch of guys, and we used to just figure something out. Like, you know, we take these trips. And so 1 year, my buddy was there, Bruce's personal manager, Terry McGovern, and he gave us tour passes, and those guys were getting too old to go out after these shows. So they're like, we'll send you out, and you come back and entertain us with stories the next day.
Not a bad gig.
No, it was a great gig, John.
Yeah, that's
fun. We were in, you know, Copenhagen and, you know, I mean, Amsterdam and, you know, Norway. I mean, all kinds of different places. It was great.
What about what these young bucks listen to? A lot of these young bucks out here in the streets, and I got little brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. They're playing Migos. They're playing Drake. They're playing Jay-Z. You a fan of any of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, Drake's got a new album out. I mean, they're listening to it around the world right now. I mean, around the world. I mean, it's worldwide. You know, it's not, you know, I grew up in the East, West, you know,
the
rapper,
right?
Hip-hop, you know, wars, you know. I mean, this guy makes a song, and they're listening to it in Buenos Aires and in Rome and, you know, around the world.
So if you could play an instrument or be in a band, who would it be? Like, what kind of band would it be?
Well, I mean, who wouldn't want to be like a lead guitarist for Bono?
Oh, okay.
You know, like, who wouldn't, you know, why wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, it's a definition of rock and roll. You know, I mean, I saw him one time in Dusseldorf, Germany. And we had just played a World Bowl, NFL Europe Championship game in the stadium in Dusseldorf. And the next day, U2 was playing. So, you know, I kind of finagled my way into the show and with some friends. And I just see Bono come out onto that stage. And, you know, he's in the middle of this crowd, and for him to, like, get 65,000 German people happy, smiling, excited, like, I didn't know that was possible.
That's a great story.
You have a good life. I mean, travel around covering the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Travel Dogs.
Yeah.
You got a place in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
I mean, this hashtag, I want to be Baldy.
College football games. I want to be like you, Baldy.
Yeah,
how do I become like you?
College football is awesome, man.
It is.
So at Fox, Eric Shanks is the president of Fox Sports. And so they got back into the college football game big, right? So they want to win the weekends. That's their thing. Saturdays, Sundays, Thursday nights. It became a Fox football network. But I tell Eric all the time, like, the month of October is the most exciting month in sports. I mean, you got the World Series. College football is, you're hitting all of your conference games. You got the NFL in midseason. I mean, you can't not watch sports.
Oh, I love it. I love it. World Series, I call it the best time of the year here because you have the NBA kicking off, starting their season. You have the NFL getting into the division games, and it's in the middle of the pack where it's saying, okay, who's where, who's what, who's where. The bye weeks are coming up, and then, as you mentioned, the World Series and college football. And it's not a big college football region.
Yeah.
But we have the national championship here in our backyard coming January 7th.
Right.
So just real quick, from what you've seen in college football and in the college football playoff, we talked a little about Kyler Murray.
Yep.
This Alabama team is stacked.
Stacked.
Notre Dame, Clemson. Clemson stacked all over the defensive line. We talked about defensive linemen. They got a couple studs who are going to be first-round picks.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on the college football playoff?
Well, first of all, if you go back to last year, could it be any better? You know, could Oklahoma, Georgia be any better?
Oh,
double overtime.
Phenomenal.
I mean, it was unbelievable. And then you get to the national champ. You get to the championship game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Georgia, those two backs, Nick Chubb and Sony Michel, like, they couldn't tackle them in Alabama. And that game, to change quarterbacks at halftime, to bring Tua out, right, after a quarterback that's 25-2 as a starter, like, he didn't lose. And to make that change, and then to make that throw at the end to win the game. College football, I don't know that maybe Texas, USC, I don't know that we could have seen anything better than that. But I'll say this. I remember the day, you probably remember this, you sound like you got a great recall button here, Bonte. But you remember when Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M went into Tuscaloosa
to
beat Alabama.
Yep.
It shocked the college football world. And, I mean, that made Johnny football that day. Now, whatever happened, happened. But that day, he got lit up by Alabama, and he just kept coming at him. And if there's one guy, if there's a player that can defeat truly an NFL defense at NFL players at every level, it's a player of Kyler Murray, where you can't, it's like squeezing Jell-O.
Right.
Like he's going to come out of somewhere. You know, so no matter what you try to divine, however you try to design a defense to keep him squeezed,
right,
he's going to come out. And so how does he, can they put up 40 on Alabama?
Wow. I don't know. They had the receiver, CeeDee Lamb,
yep.
Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
You have some good running backs. They have a big-time offensive line. They have an NFL offensive line.
They have two tackles that are going to get drafted, man.
So can they keep this defensive line? Because Alabama is so stacked on every single
level.
But
I almost think, look, come after him. I mean, yeah. Guy's going to get beat. Kyler's going to, I mean, he's not reading the rush, but he's going to feel it. And he's going to be darting in one way or the other. And he's going to be like that game between Clemson and Deshaun Watson in Alabama. I mean, You almost fell in love with Deshaun Watson that day.
Yep.
Like, that kid, they hit him. They chased him. He was literally the only guy in the field that didn't get tired. And Kyler Murray's the same way. I almost think it's a skill. Athletes that can just play that hard, and they just don't fatigue. And I think that's what, you know, that's what Deshaun is. That's what he was that night. And I think that's what Kyler Murray will be against Alabama.
Yeah, I think of Vince Young in that Rose Bowl against USC. He never got tired,
no.
Even though they were down double digits in the fourth quarter. One of the best football games I've ever seen in my life. Charlie Ward, he had to beat Nebraska in the Orange Bowl. That was, I mean, I always felt cheated as a kid.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Charlie Ward play NFL quarterback. He won a Heisman.
I know.
But he made a nice living playing in the NBA for the New York Knicks. Speaking of basketball here, Grant Napier, he's the voice of the Sacramento Kings. He was on our morning show today with Joe Lo and Dibs discussing DeMarcus Cousins and whether or not he's a good fit with the Golden State Warriors.
I have real reservations about how DeMarcus is going to fit in there. I don't think Golden State needs DeMarcus. I don't think he's going to really help them. I really don't. I didn't understand the signing from day one. The style of DeMarcus to me doesn't fit in with the style of Golden State. The way the Warriors run up and down the floor and the way the Warriors play defense, I'm really skeptical how that's all going to work out. But you're right, that does add a dimension to it. There's no question about it. But I'm one of the skeptics out there. I think there are many of them, but I don't see it really all working out the way everyone else does.
Well, DeMarcus Cousins is one of the best big men in the NBA, but he suffered this gruesome Achilles tendon tear back in February for the New Orleans Pelicans, and he's trying to work himself back. And this pace that the Warriors play at, up and down, scattered. And the Warriors, let's be honest, they haven't had a big man like DeMarcus Cousins, a guy where you could just dump the ball down into the block and go get you a bucket. DeMarcus can do that, but first, I want to ask you what it's like, because you obviously play in the NFL, so you're familiar with this injury. We see it all the time. We've seen it with Richard Sherman, and he's trying to work his way back. And we see Sherman struggle when it comes to comeback routes, quick outs. He gives a lot of cushion. He's bailing so fast. Richard Sherman in Seattle, he was bumping you. He's playing physical. Now he's just turning his hips, and he's barely going to play because I think he's favoring that Achilles tendon injury. How is DeMarcus Cousins going to deal with this, playing in hoops, playing on a team like this that's going up and down here? What's your thoughts on this injury and trying to come back from it?
Well, I think it's going to be tough. I don't disagree with Grant in what he said on the morning show today, but I remember I announced college basketball games for Compass. So I remember I did a Kentucky-Indiana game when it was John Wall and Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
They were playing Indiana
right.
On a campus in Bloomington, and I remember watching him for the first time going, that's going to be a hell of a big man. Now, the one thing I'll say is if Golden State would play the Sixers, it might be nice to have a Boogie Cousins to go up against Embiid. You know, because right now there's physically nobody that can handle Joel Embiid. And I don't know if Boogie can either. But if they want to play some low-post basketball in an NBA final, that might be a pretty good option to have right there.
From who you know and what you know, what's the biggest hurdle in getting over this injury, Achilles tendon tear?
Well, first of all, everybody's injury heals differently. because you are attaching the tendon, and you've got to have a degree of looseness to it where it can kind of give, and so that you can jump, and because it innervates all of your calf muscles. Nine muscles right. in the calf all come down there. And so it affects all those muscles of your calf, nine muscles in a calf. So your popliteus, your, you know, all those muscles there, it all affects it. And you don't know until you're probably a year out whether you're going to get the same spring, the same extension, the same ability to stop, start. Those are things that you don't know until you have to go through it. And some guys never come back from it. I mean, Dan Marino tore his Achilles against right. the Eagles when I was playing with the Eagles in Miami, and he still walks funny.
Yeah.
He still looks like he has a little bit of a drop foot when he walks.
And he was never the mobile guy. He stood in that pocket. I remember that season as well. Scott Mitchell got paid off of that season.
That's right.
He came in and got paid by the Detroit Lions. And Boogie is a big man. He's 6'11".
Every bit.
280 pounds. Richard Sherman is probably about 210, 215, maybe 220. So just that added weight onto that leg, I'm really intrigued in a way he can come back with the Warriors and how can he fit in. I don't think it's going to be I mean, when you're playing with Steph Curry, he's selfless. Kevin Durant, he's not a selfish player. Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be easy for Boogie to fit in, but I do worry about, you know, defending the pick and roll.
But he's still young, though. I mean, it's Richard Sherman is 30. I mean, I'm not saying he's old. He's not. But, I mean, he is younger. I have seen Jason Peters come back from a torn Achilles and play at a Pro Bowl level. So I have seen it, and I've seen some guys that were never the same after. It always seemed like it was an old man's injury until I saw Sidney Jones tear his in a workout. He was now the Eagles quarterback, and he doesn't look anything like the athlete that I saw at Washington.
Yeah,
he just doesn't look like that guy right now, and he's young, and he's 2 years out from the 2.5 years out from the injury.
Yeah, you hope he can recover from that. He was a baller at Washington for the Huskies. A lot of people in Philadelphia, I know, they were excited about the young man, and he struggled this season for the Eagles, and that's been their big sticking point. The secondary hasn't played well. Now you have Carson Wentz out for another 3 months. You just wonder how reckless Carson Wentz can rail that in a bit here. Can he just be a pocket quarterback? We'll get your thoughts on that in just a second. I want to take this phone call, Baldy. Okay. Bud in Oakland wants to talk about DeMarcus Cousins with you here on the Damon Bruce Show. What's going on, Bud?
Hey, how y'all doing this evening?
Hello, Bud.
I'm all right. Hey, listen, I don't think, you know, cut him per se. I know he has a lot of weight with the injury and whatnot, but with the role that the Warriors would have for him, I'm pretty sure they can monitor his minutes, and they will give him a pretty much easy role. They make it so easy for everyone on the team with the ball movement, the getting up and down the floor, maybe a bit of a hassle in a long stretch. But, you know, I think it's still going to be great to see five all-stars on the floor at one time, and I think that it potentially can go somewhere. You know, like I said, if anybody can use this guy and utilize him great, it can be the Warriors, you know, and you know, I just wanted to give my intake, man. I appreciate the, you guys taking my call, man.
Thank you, Bud. That is phenomenal when you think about it. Five all-stars in one starting five. I mean, the Celtics had some great teams in the 60s, the 70s, and, of course, the 80s. The Showtime Lakers was awesome. The Bulls had Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan, and they had all these role players. But five all-stars in a starting lineup. Are you a little excited to see this?
I don't see how it works. I don't think you need five. but I want to see – I'd like to see it. I'd like to see how it works. The ball does move. I just want to see what his conditioning is going to be like. The conditioning is going to be a factor. I mean, you haven't played in a year, well, almost a year. And so you, when he gets back out there, whenever it is, I want to see, can he keep that pace, you know, and can he push the pace? Because if he's not, then he's going to be a drag on the team.
Did you hoop, Baldy, growing up?
Yeah, I played college basketball.
College basketball?
Yeah. Well, I went to the Naval Academy, and that lasted about 3 days. And so, you know, I went to junior college, and, as soon as, you know, I was bouncing that quarter off the, you know, off my covers, and, you know, I just didn't bounce high enough, and marching at 5 o'clock in the morning just wasn't fun. I tried to have a stereo war one day. They didn't have any part of that in Annapolis. So I went to junior college. I played at junior college level.
Right.
Yeah. So I loved it. I loved playing basketball.
And you're a Dookie.
Yeah.
You're a Dookie. Then they got three awesome players, Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, and Cam Reddish, who's a three-point shooter. They got ballers all over the place.
I was at Duke when Coach K came. He came
when
in 1980.
First came, right?
He came there in 1980. I was a student there then. And we used to play a lot of pickup basketball back then. Mike was still, he was 34 years old or whatever. Play a lot of pickup basketball. I knew right then, like that guy was from the south side of Chicago. I mean, he didn't take any guff off anybody. So you know, he wasn't nice when he was playing pickup basketball, and he has that side to him. He knows how to coach.
You're also there at Duke when Lawrence Taylor was in ACC, all these great stars in ACC. Yep. Lawrence Taylor, one of the best pass rushers you've seen, because we're going to see one Sunday with Frank Clark. We're going to see one next week with Khalil Mack. Who's the closest?
None of those guys are LT.
No.
Okay, let's say that.
No doubt about it. He's one of a kind.
Yeah.
There's LT and there's everybody else.
Pretty much. I mean, that guy changed the game. He changed your blocking patterns, how you handled him. You had to know where he was every play. Because when he hit you, he could ruin you. He could ruin the entire day. And he did, when I was with the Cowboys, he ruined us a bunch. So I caught him at the end of his career when I was with the Eagles a couple of times, and I just knew how to hold him. You know, I just had to get away with it, and I had some tricks, and I pulled them all out. He wasn't happy about it, but LT was used. But
did you wear blue gloves to match with the Giants jerseys, or white gloves with the Giants?
He didn't care. Like, I saw him one time. I'll tell you a story. This is true. We played a Monday night game when I was with the Indianapolis, and so we're all out there warming up, and LT comes into the RCA Dome at that time, and he lays down on the Colts logo in the middle of the 50-yard line, and he takes a nap. Now the punters are out there, and people are throwing the football, and he's got his gym bag, and he's napping at the 50-yard line. So everybody knows who he is, and we're like, what the hell's wrong? What's going on here? So, you know, pretty much everybody's on the field. So he goes in, he changes, he comes out. He always lined up almost the entire career over the left tackle. On the third play of the game, he decided to line up over our right tackle. And our right tackle, Kevin Call, went to cut him. He jumped over him. He knocked the hell out of Jeff George. The ball came loose. He picked the ball up, and he ran into the end zone. He put it on the ground. He might as well have gone back and taken a nap because his day was over, basically. He just ruined the game right away.
And Lawrence Taylor, one of the best ever. His football life, I just watched that. He was phenomenal. One of the best players to ever play in the NFL. We're going to do a lot more breaking down the NFL. Brian Baldinger live in studio here on the Damon Bruce Show. Gianna Franco's hanging out. We got a little 5 before 5 coming up right here on 95.7 The Game.
Some things you need to know. Some things you want to know. It's 5 before 5 on 95.7 The Game.
The one thing I love about the Damon Bruce Show is when I get to fill in, they have a segment called 5 before 5. And we got Brian Baldinger in here for his first rendition of 5 before 5. And Gianna Franco, take it away for a little 5 before 5.
Well, thank you, Monte. We are brought to you by the California Academy of Sciences. Right now, by the way, 'tis the season for snow and science. Take the kids, take the family. They've got an ice rink. You can learn about snow flurries, all kinds of fun stuff happening there right now, especially throughout the holidays. And I will be giving away a 5-pack coming up here at the end of the segment. So, Baldy, this is how this goes. We're going to tee up 5 different topics.
Yep.
Kind of fun, kind of, you know, get your analysis and get your guys' opinion. So, okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Number 1.
So, earlier, you mentioned that it's must-watch. The Seahawks and Niners were must-watch football at one point, right? Mm-hmm. A true rivalry like Ravens versus Steelers. Well, you know, things have changed just a bit in the NFL. Do you feel like the concept of rivalry itself has changed? That is there still a true rivalry out there, say like Packers, Bears, Eagles, Cowboys? Or is it kind of maybe whatever the flavor is of the moment?
No, I think there's still good rivalries. And I think this Rams 49ers, the final game this year for the 49ers, is still going to be a good rivalry. Because I think Kyle and Sean McVay going back and forth with the way that they can create offense, I think it's going to be really good football. It was last year when the 49ers weren't very good and the Rams became good. It was still good football. I think it's going to be good probably as soon as week 17 this year in 4 going years.
What do you think, Bate?
We have Steelers-Patriots. That's a pretty good rivalry. Yeah. They've met in the playoffs a couple times. Tomlin against Belichick, Big Ben against Brady. I think that's still a rivalry here. Cowboys and Eagles, phenomenal football game. They can't stand each other. So there is some rivalry still in the NFL.
Number 2.
All right, so speaking of the NFL, it has evolved a lot, obviously, now with this offensive explosion. Things have changed, especially from when you were in the league versus now. Mm-hmm. We're also seeing how the league is covered, how the media covers players and the team and so forth. What do you think is the biggest challenge that's for most kids coming into the league now and trying to be successful, or say like a Patrick Mahomes is just like amazing right out of the gates?
Well, I think it's hard. Like, I was a free agent that came in, and I went through 6 weeks of training camp and 2-a-days, and I got a chance to really improve and really show myself. I think it's harder for some players that aren't recognized, that weren't highly drafted, to get an opportunity now. And I think these leagues that are coming in the spring now may be a good spring league for guys to play, like a Kurt Warner, who was bounced out of Green Bay and got a chance with the Rams and then show what he could do. But I think that's the toughest thing right now, is to get that opportunity if you're not highly drafted.
I think the toughest thing right now is social media. You know, you want these kids to stay off of Twitter, stay off of Instagram, Facebook, because you can get into a lot of trouble just responding to anything out there. So I think social media has been the biggest game changer in today's game.
I mean, you didn't deal with a ton of that when you were in the league. So do you kind of see a big difference how players handle that?
But I think you almost need a social media coach, because you're not going to win any battles on social media with fans. And most Twitter feeds are pretty negative. I'm sure, Gianna, you have yours. We all have ours.
Yeah.
So if you try to battle with these people, you're not going to win.
No.
You're just not. So, I mean, the biggest thing is just you can look at it. You can use it as a good vehicle for, you know, whether it's promotions or your charity or whatever else. But I would not, you know, try and go at these fans with it.
And as a media member, I mean, it's a part of the job now.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter, Baldi's breakdowns. Yeah.
Baldi's breakdowns. We wouldn't have it.
The players got to read, you know, they're following it every day. So they retweet my stuff in real time. I mean, I'm glad they're watching.
Any players, real quick, sorry to cut you off, Giada. Any players, I saw Odell Beckham in his profile. They wrote on you in The Athletic. Anybody who has The Athletic, subscribe to it. Read this profile on Brian Baldinger. It is phenomenal stuff. But any players say, man, Baldy, you're wrong there. I was supposed to do this. I was supposed to do that. You're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about.
I had a player, a wide receiver for the Jets, who slipped in a route. And the ball was intercepted by another player. And I raved about what the other player did. His name was Jalen Ramsey. So I'm a big Jalen Ramsey fan. Some people are just more talented, let's face it. Some entertainers are more talented than others.
Right.
Jalen's just one of those guys. So the wide receiver for the Jets came back at me and going, man, you don't know what you're talking about, man. I slipped on that route. That wasn't just Jalen. So I'm like, look, that's fine. You know, and anybody that has an issue with me, I welcome him to the film room. Show me what I'm missing. I want to learn. But so far, I don't get many detractors from the players.
Film don't lie.
Nope. No, it doesn't.
Number three.
Numbers don't either. All right. So Stephen A. Smith had a bit of a blunder yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. It was trending. Of course it was. When he was previewing Chargers and Chiefs, he was talking about players that were either injured or not even playing for the teams anymore. So I'm going to play it for you, and you can tell me what – you can give me your Baldy breakdown on this.
All right. I'm going to have some faith in Spencer away and thinking that, you know, he can do some things. I'm keeping my eyes on this matchup right here.
Spencer,
you got
Ware's
your linebacker.
Out.
I'm sorry?
Spencer Ware is out.
Oh, yes, I forgot. I'm sorry,
out
Max.
With
I'm
the foot.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Absolutely, he is out. But I'm thinking Tyreek Hill. I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. I'm also looking at the San Diego Chargers on offense, and I'm thinking about Hunter Henry and the way that he's played this year and as effective as he's been. He's going up against Derek Johnson.
All right. So, you know, as broadcasters, we're only human. Have you ever had a blunder? And what did you think of that? You know, his response was, you know, I was thinking of somebody else, but then he said that about every single player.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I'm a fan of Stephen A. We all started out together in Philadelphia. He was writer for The Inquirer. We all started together. So I know Stephen A. differently. So I'm a fan. But it also goes to show you, and I'm not here to rip on Stephen A., but this is an incredibly difficult game to cover. There's 32 teams. Every team has injuries. Every team has players that are out, that were in, they're out. When are they coming back? And it's just impossible to know it all unless you're just doing this every day. And Stephen A. is talking about, you know, LeBron and all the. So I think it just goes to show you how difficult can it be. A guy like this who prides himself in knowing a lot can be this wrong about something.
I'm the wrong guy. Go ahead, Gianna.
No, like.
I'm the wrong guy. Listen to me 12 to 3. You'll find a blunder every hour. Let's be honest here.
We're all full. And look, so here's the thing. Like, I will mispronounce a name. I'll get a name wrong on Twitter, on a Baldy's breakdown. And I'll hear about, you don't even know this, my team. Like, I got Mike Gesicki and Nick O'Leary wrong in Miami at tight end. Like, I didn't really care, to be honest with you. But I said the wrong, you don't even know that Nick O'Leary is 83, he's not 81. I'm like, okay. So they're going to point that out. That's what fans do, you know, and they want to kind of show that they're right. And I'm not really all about just being right. I kind of want to give a bigger picture than just be right. But I don't like it when I make a mistake. It just happens.
Oh man, it festers with me when I make a mistake. I can't handle it. I have a hard time with that. Do you have a most embarrassing moment, Bonte?
Wow. There's so many. So many. Dump buttons.
Oh, really?
There's one. I think I was on the board early in my career, and the computer froze, and I didn't come back with a sounder, and the hosts were looking at me like, what's going on here? And it still sticks with me to this day. So there's a blunder every day. I go home and think about, like, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I misspeak here? So happens every day. We're human, but it does. When I make a mistake, I'm like, it bothers me.
Do you have a most embarrassing moment or a really funny moment that happened on air?
I don't know if I have one of those because they happen all the time. But like, I do NFL and college football games, so I have a telestrator, and there's nothing worse than drawing the circle around the wrong guy. like you're an idiot. You look like an idiot. And then you go, I didn't mean to draw around. I mean, there's no way to really cover it up.
Right.
So you just have to just make fun of yourself. You have to be self-deprecating. But that feeling that you just described,
yeah,
where you feel like inside your head, you're going, why did I just do that? I've been better off not drawing a circle. Why did I? You can't take it back.
No, it gives that pit in your stomach. No, I got tangled up in a mic cord once on live television and ate it. It was really embarrassing.
I'll tell you one quick thing. I was doing a pregame show one time before a college football game at the University of Houston. And we did it at Robertson Stadium, the track field, because Carl Lewis was announcing his retirement from track. So we did it at the, and he was going to run around the track. So they had a makeshift booth. So the table that we were sitting on, it was on wheels.
Oh.
So while I was doing the open, the table I was sitting on rolled, and all the equipment went off the table and fell into the stands below us. Now, fortunately, it didn't hit anybody, but the police came up to investigate and all this.
Wow.
Yeah. There's no way you can cover that up.
No.
That's awkward.
Yeah.
Number four.
All right. So Kyle Shanahan celebrating his 39th birthday today. Can you believe he's only 39?
God.
Head coach of the Niners, only 39 years old.
I want to be 39 forever, man.
I know. It's a good age, I'm sure. He had a lot of fun at the facility this morning. Bay Area rapper and big 49er fan E-40 was on hand at the meetings today. Gave him a big hug, shook his hand, got all excited. Big happy birthday celebration. So I believe I read that your birthday's coming up just around the corner, right,
January
Bali?
7th.
January 7th. Same day as the college football playoff national championship.
That's right.
Happening here.
We know what you'll be doing that day.
Mm-hmm.
So,
part of it.
Well, if you had someone walk in the room that could greet you, hug you, say happy birthday, sing you a song, who would it be?
Gosh, it'd have to be, I don't know, Kate Upton would be pretty good. Is she available?
Wow, you and Damon are meant to be friends.
Yeah.
Damon probably had the same answer.
I'm an all-American guy. I like all those things.
I think she's taken.
Hopefully my girlfriend isn't listening here, but I'd love it to be Ashanti, Beyonce, maybe the both of them singing me happy birthday. I can live for that.
So yeah, no, Rihanna would be all right.
So no rappers?
No.
You want the gorgeous supermodel to walk in.
I got followed the other day by MC Hammer. He's
nice.
A big Raider fan. So
yeah, he is. He comes to a lot of Warrior games as well.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, one more.
Number five.
So typically on a Friday, we do a little thing called this or that. So this is rapid fire. First thing that pops in your head, give me your answer. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cheesesteak or chowder bread bowl?
Oh, cheesesteak.
I'm going to agree with Baldy.
But only in Philly. I don't want a cheesesteak in any other city.
No, you haven't had a cheesesteak here?
No.
Put it up your cheesesteak shop on Divisadero. Try one.
No.
I like it better than Steve's. I like it better than Jim's. I like it Gino's.
Is
Patrick
from
Gino's.
Philly like it? They
have all
cheese
these
whiz. You give me the option. What are they doing?
Yeah, they don't have the cheese whiz.
They don't have no whiz.
They don't have whiz.
Man, if I'm not eating a cheesesteak without the whiz.
But I will go for a cheesesteak over clam chowder.
All right. Dinner or dessert?
Straight dinner. Just give me a steak.
Not a big dessert guy. Not a big candy guy. I want dinner.
All right. Tailgate or watch party?
Tailgate.
Right?
Yeah, tailgate. Come on, man. I mean, it's the most fun in all the sports.
Tailgate's fun, but I like a good watch party. I'm not going to lie. I like a good watch party.
But the tailgate, then you head in the game.
Yeah,
you've already had a couple few.
I just want to disagree with Baldy.
Okay, all right. Beer garden or wine tasting?
Beer garden.
Wine tasting, man. I'm from the Bay Area, man. Right. Napa, California,
Baldy. I understand.
You know about it.
I heard those California Chardonnays are pretty good.
They actually are. Hawaiian vacation or European museum tour?
Oh, Hawaiian vacation.
Yeah, I'm a beach guy.
Yeah.
Sunshine, being on the beach with my
time. Day.
Right, yeah. Give me Hawaii.
All right, Gruden or Shanahan?
You know, my last year in Philadelphia, John Gruden was just coming in as coach, and I kind of got to meet the young John Gruden that became the big John Gruden. I'll take John. And no offense to Kyle. I like Kyle. I like his dad. I like the whole thing.
I'm taking Kyle Shanahan. Young coach. You see his play design. John Gruden's starting to come on here. He's starting to see some of his concepts. Derek Carr's starting to master his offense here, but I don't know if the game has passed him by yet. 10-year contract, $100 million. You're trading all these pieces around. You're rebuilding the Raiders. I'm going to go with Kyle Shanahan.
All right. National draft in Vegas or the field? NFL draft in Vegas or the field, I should say.
The field.
Like, for example, it's going to be in Nashville this year, or it always used to be in New York. And...
Well, it should be in Philadelphia every year.
Oh, I mean, here we go.
That was happening.
That was the best draft ever.
Hey, Drew Pearson? How about Drew Pearson during that day?
They were booing Jaws. I mean, come on. It didn't matter. It was awesome. I mean, but I look, the NFL draft is just an event. It's a 2.5-month buildup. It's a phenomenal event. So, I mean, we can't get enough of it.
I'm going to take the field as well because we could go to Vegas every other weekend. I've been to Vegas. It's okay. I like to go there for basketball tournaments or prize fights. But Chicago, Philly, New York, what about the Bay Area? Nashville is going to be great. I'm taking the field.
All right. Uber or Lyft? Do you have a preference?
I'll take Uber.
I'll take Lyft.
I take Lyft, too.
Uber canceled my account. I can't get it back. I have no idea what happened.
We're going to have to find out what happened at the break. Baseball or basketball?
Hoops. Every day. Hoops. Grew up playing hoops in New York.
Yeah, hoops.
Yeah.
Hoops. All right. Last one. Cat or dog?
Oh, cat.
I'm a dog guy.
Really?
Yeah. Big cat. You know, like lions. And take me to Africa on a safari. Let me just go watch big cats.
I was thinking like a furry tabby.
No, I'm not talking about that little fluffy the house cat. I'm talking about big lions.
Right. Give me a big dog.
Those kind of cats.
Give me a pit bull, a Rottweiler. Give me a dog.
No chihuahuas for you, Monte.
No chihuahuas. No,
me neither.
Even though my girlfriend wants a chihuahua or whatever.
No, you're going to win that battle. Right?
I'm not winning that.
I don't think
I'm
going to
win
battle.
I'm going to lose that battle. Baldy,
come on,
help me out here, man. I need some advice.
You're going to put that chihuahua in your pocket and walk around?
I'm not going to do it, man. Do you know they put dogs in strollers now out here in the Bay Area?
No, I didn't know that.
Man,
that surprised me.
It happens. Good job, guys. That was fun.
All right, 5 before 5, we're going to reset the show here with a nice little legal ID.